Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to a special bonus episode of Who Won the Week. I'm Cara Mahorn, a.k.a. The Blur Girl, and I'm here to talk about leap year. Now, every 4 years we have leap year, and we add one more day, kind of, to the February calendar. Why do we do this? And why every 4 years? And why February? Well, the answer is a lot of science and a lot of math. So I'm talking to Sci-Fi Wire's resident astronomer and the brains behind the Bad Astronomy column, Phil Plait. Welcome, Phil.
Hi, thanks for having me back on.
Absolutely. Now, I have questions. Why do we have a leap year? And why is it every 4 years?
You know what? I'm going to start right off by disagreeing with you and saying it's a little bit of astronomy and a lot of math. it's based on astronomy. Basically, we have two fundamental units that we use to measure time. And that's the day and the year. And everything else we've made up. The minute, the second, the hour, whatever. Those are all made up. But the day and the year, those are based on physical things. The rotation of the Earth, that's a day. And the time it takes the Earth to go around the sun, and that's a year. I'm already skipping over a lot of stuff because there are a lot of different ways of measuring days and years. And it gets pretty complicated pretty fast. But if you sort of standardize all this and say, well, we have so many seconds in a day and all that, then it takes a certain amount of time for the Earth to spin once. And it turns out that there aren't an even number of those rotations, not an even number of days in the year. So the Earth rotates once a day and it takes 365 and about 0.25 days to go around the sun.
Wait, so our year really isn't 365 days? It's more than that?
It's a little bit more, about a quarter of a day more.
Okay.
You know, there's no reason they should be an exact fraction of each other because they're independent of each other. The Earth is spinning and going around the sun. It could be anything. If the Earth spun faster, we could have 1,000 days in a year. Or, you know, it could be exactly 100, but it's not. It's some weird number, and it's 365.25, kinda. He says with malice aforethought. Well,
it's like pi.
Yeah, it's like saying pi equals 3.14. It's like, right. Well, no, there's kind of. There's more going on after that. And it turns out that's important. The first step is to say, okay, it's not even. There's a quarter of a day left over. So after 4 years, you've built up this extra day that isn't in your calendar. And so we take that and call it a leap day and stick it at the end of February because February has fewer days in it than the other months. And that has to do with Caesar and historical stuff. They kept taking days out of February and sticking them into other months. So to be fair to February, every 4 years, we take this extra day, stick it back in. And we call it leap day, February 29th. And that's Saturday of this year. And that's fine. The problem is, and this is where the fun is, it's not exactly 365.25 days in a year. It's actually, and I got to make sure I get this right, 365.2422.
You see,
and there are more numbers.
Always a catch. Always a catch.
and there are more numbers after the decimal point, but you know, 2422, good enough. And what this means is that's about 11 minutes short of a quarter of a day. So we're actually not quite adding in the right amount every 4 years. There's this extra 11 minutes every year that adds up, 44 minutes. And so that actually builds up. And after a while, you realize that we have adjusted the calendar incorrectly, and we have to adjust for this sort of offset that we didn't adjust for in the first place. And well, you know, you could kind of do this if you do the math, and I do this out on my article about this. You could adjust the calendar every 128 years by not including a leap year, and that would work. But 128 years is a weird number, so we just do it every century. And so basically, I got to make sure that I have this right, because at some point I get my head all wrapped around this and I get confused. Every fourth year you add a leap year.
Okay.
But every 100th year you don't. And what happens is by not adding that leap year, by not adding February 29th in every century, that adjusts the calendar a little bit more accurately. And the Earth's rotation sort of adds up to the right number to get the calendar to balance. So, for example, this year's 2020. We have right. a leap year. 2016 mm-hmm. was a leap year. 2024 will be a leap year. However, 1700, 1800, 1900 were not leap years. We don't put in a February 29th there, and that helps the calendar be good. The problem is even this doesn't quite work. It's the calendar still off. So what we do then is every 400 years, we put the leap day back in, right?
Okay, now see, I got to pause because I'm adding it all up in my head, but I have two questions. One, if we're short every 4 years, doesn't that mean every 4 years time should catch up?
Every 4 years, we're actually adding in too much to the calendar, and that builds up. So every 100 years, we skip leap day because that gets the calendar lined up that much better to Earth's spin. But even that isn't compensating exactly correctly, which is why we have to do the whole every 400 years, then we include the leap day again. So in fact, the year 2000 is divisible by four. So you'd think, well, that's a leap year, right? Oh, but it's divisible by 100. So it's not a leap year. Oh, wait, but it's divisible by 400. So it is a leap year. So 2000 so actually was a leap year. It's a mess.
Yes, and then the most important question is, whose job is it to keep track of this every 400 years? What immortal is sitting with a calculator doing this? I have questions.
Well, this is something that has been worried and fretted over by people for centuries, millennia. The calendar is a complete mess. I mean, there are days missing back in like the 16th century or something like that. And it was one of the popes who basically said, we're going to do it this way. And even deciding like, what's the first day of the year? That was something that, you know, somebody had to basically say by rule, by basically somebody slapping this down on the table and saying, well, we're going to make it January 1st. So, and there are a lot of different groups that do this. There are international groups. There's the official timekeepers of, in the United States, there's the Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. There's also the National Institute of Science and Technology, which is actually here in Boulder, Colorado, where I live. And they actually have an atomic clock where they keep track of time. So there are all of these different groups. And they all have to kind of agree on this because we're a whole planet that's connected together through time. And we need to actually all agree with each other on what time is, or else everything's going to be a huge mess.
Well, yeah. And I've even heard other terms like the tropical year. I've heard that before. What does that mean?
Well, there are different ways of measuring how long it takes the Earth to go around the sun. And you can sort of say, I'm going to look at the stars in the sky. And when there's a star in a certain position of the sky, I'll measure that on a certain day and then wait a year. And when it's exactly back in that same position, I will call that a year. That's a sidereal year. That's sidereal means from the stars. But it turns out that's not necessarily the best way to do it. We go through seasons, the spring, summer, fall, winter, and you can measure the time it takes to go from the summer solstice in June. I was going to say July. You know, July is when we're closest to the sun. That's another type of year, how long it takes the Earth to go around the sun sort of physically. Or you can measure it season to season, like I was saying there a moment ago. That's the tropical year. And it turns out that's kind of the best way to do it for the calendar, because that keeps the seasons happening at the same time. If you use one of these other years, the length of time is different. And over a while, you know, 100 years, 1,000 years, whatever, all of a sudden it's going to be winter in July, which is fine if you're in Australia, but up here in the Northern Hemisphere, that would be a mess.
Well, honestly, we might be headed to that anyway, but that's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, exactly right, when winter's no longer here. But it's just, this is all, it's all really a lot more complicated than you think. At some level, you can explain it all. You can read about it. I've written about this many times. Every January 1st, I write about what the year length is, how we define it, because there are just a lot of different ways to do it, and they all have their uses. It's kind of like the metric system versus the imperial system. You can use feet and inches if you want. You can use meters and centimeters if you want. Metric system's more convenient. We're used to the other system here, but they both measure the same thing. They just use different units. So it's kind of the same thing here. These all have their uses. You just have to be super careful and pick which one you want to use.
Well, also, this is a question actually I've been having for a while. Is time measured the same place all over the world, same way rather, all over the world. So like, is there somebody maybe like in India or Australia, like you were saying, that measures, because those everything after that decimal point seems to be very important. So are there decimal points a little different?
You know, I don't know how internationally used our calendar is, this Gregorian calendar that we use now, this tropical year calendar. I think most of the world uses it. There may be places where people don't use that specific one. I know that there's, for example, the Jewish calendar, which is lunar based. And that has the same sort of problems, because then you're talking about the moon going around the earth. And that is also, it doesn't divide evenly into the year. And they have to have a leap month, which they add in every 12 years. I can't remember now. But it's something like that. It's all a mess, no matter what you do. There's very little way to make this all standardized. And in fact, how you measure time, that decimal place, it's like, look, if you want to talk about a year being 365.25 days, that does pretty well over the course of a decade or so. But, you know, that little bit left over, that becomes important over time scales of a human lifetime. And if you want to keep the calendar getting more accurate for longer, you can keep looking at farther and farther out in that decimal place. But you don't have to. You know, I'm not going to worry about this on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, good, because I'm not going to.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so if somebody else is using a slightly different calendar, as long as you can convert between them, that's fine. And in fact, you know, there's an atomic clock here in Boulder that keeps time to some ridiculous number of decimal places, like 10 decimal places or more. And so that might lose a second over the lifetime of the universe. If you put that clock someplace else, if it's at a different latitude, if it's at a different height above or below the Earth's surface, then you have other effects that come in. Gravity changes how time flows, and you have to worry about that for certain applications. But, you know, if I'm thinking, oh, you know, I've got my article due for Sci-Fi Wire tomorrow, I don't care if I'm off by a femtosecond, a trillionth of a second or whatever.
I'm using that for when my next article is late. Thank you.
By my atomic clock, I'm still 12 trillionths of a second early.
Exactly. You know what? Why then does all of this matter? Because we do have, like you said, some tangible representations of time. The Earth rotating, you know, on its axis, the Earth going around the sun, you know, seasons. Why is leap year still important then? If there's so many different ways of doing it and no one can agree, why not just like look up at the sun and go, okay, it's noon?
Well, I wouldn't say no one can agree. I think most people agree. Most people on the planet are using this calendar that we use now. But you're right. I mean, in the details, there is some disagreement on how to do this best. And in some ways it's like having time zones. It's kind of important, you know, if you want to wake up in the morning and have lunch at midday and dinner at night and then go to sleep. It's kind of weird to think if we didn't have time zones, those numbers would be different for everybody. Like you're 2 hours ahead of me. So, you know, it's 2:30 in the afternoon or whatever it is there when it's 12:30 my time. You can convert to that fairly easily, but it makes more sense to do that than it would be to have, well, it's just noon for everybody, because that means it'll be in the middle of the night for some people on the other side of the earth. So you want some standardization. And it's just like anything else with like monetary units, time, anything like that. When you have a planet which is now has a global economy where countries depend on each other, it just makes sense to have everybody agreeing, at least at some level, to how we measure things, whether that's time, money, distance, whatever. That's why I like the metric unit, and that's why I always use the metric system in my articles. Some people, I get email from people complaining, I don't know what a meter is, and it's like, well, you know what? Learn it.
That's okay. They don't know what soccer is either. It's fine. Here's my question. Let's say hypothetically we go to Mars, and let's say we get to do this all over again on another planet, right? Would, now that we know what we know, would we? I'm thinking, and if you get to be on this board of people who keep track of time, Would you lobby for not going through all these things all over again and just literally making one set of time for an entire, you know, planet if we were terraforming someplace else?
Well, if I were inducted onto a panel like that, my first demand would be that they just kill me. No, there's no way.
Wait.
I could. This stuff makes my head ache. But no, you're right, because their things start to get a little bit itchier, because we can all sort of agree on what the length of a day is here on Earth. But on Mars, it's about a half an hour longer. So it's about 24 and a half hours, not exactly. But because Mars is also farther from the sun, its year is very roughly two Earth years. So not only do you have the same problem again, that there may not be an even number of Mars days in a Mars year, that won't match anything we have here at all. And so that's a problem. And it's a problem already. There are people, I have friends who work on, for example, a Curiosity rover, which is on Mars now, and some of these other missions that have landed on Mars. And because the Martian day is longer than the Earth, they give it a different name. They call it a sol, an S-O-L, or a sol. I'm not sure how. I've heard it pronounced both ways, which is Latin for sun. Over time, that doesn't match Earth time. So if you have to work for a Martian day, and it's a half an hour longer, you know, your shift might be in the middle of the night in Pasadena, California, where these rovers are controlled. So we have to convert Earth time to Mars time, as well as getting everybody on Mars to agree to everything like this. So, you know, when we have bases on Mars, when people are living on it and they're living at different latitudes and different longitudes on that planet, yeah, this is going to be a mess. And they're going to have to decide how to do this. How to, you know, when does a year start? When does a day start? How do we do this? I don't envy them.
But you know what? When we're living on Mars, we could have an extra half hour and a day to get our articles done, though. There's that. We would never be late on Earth.
Relative to Earth people, sure. But if you're meeting somebody for a date, you know, or whatever, you still got to deal with that. And even worse. It's worse than that, because Mars's orbit is really elliptical. And so it makes it harder to like say when, you know, when the seasons start, or when it's closest to the sun or farthest from the sun, when do you start a year? Yeah, this is a complete and utter mess. And it's something we're going to have to deal with.
Wonderful. Like, I didn't realize it was this complicated. I also didn't realize we had so many different ways of looking at time. I'm still trying to, I really want to find the group person that is in charge of making sure when the leap year is, because I would like to lobby for a longer Black History Month, and I want 8 more days and 2 more days off during the week. That's what I'm going to ask for when I meet them.
I am with you on this. I mean, I remember when they said, well, yeah, we're going to make February Black History Month. And it's like, really? The shortest month of the year? Really? This is the PR nightmare you guys want to deal with? Oh, man.
I really look forward to reading your article. And everybody, it is out now. It's called Why Do We Leap Days? And Phil, thank you. It also puts some of this empirical stuff, if your head sort of exploded halfway through this conversation, it's on paper and you could read it slowly at your leisure. He breaks it all down. Phil, thank you so much for joining us and explaining the science of things. I'm a big fan of bad astronomy, and I always love talking to you. So thank you for stopping by.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, I love talking to you too. And this stuff is my, I don't even know. I've completely lost. I'm so excited. My brain has leapt out of my head. It's my bread and butter. I love this stuff. It's just so much fun to think about, and I love explaining it.
Thank you again. Okay, so that was a lot of math, but I really, really enjoyed that conversation, because Phil Plait is always a joy to talk to. If you haven't already, definitely check out his column, Bad Astronomy, at sci-fi.com, and check out his article, Why Do We Have Leap Days? This has been a special episode of Who Won the Week. Thanks for hanging out, and make sure you subscribe and listen to all the other Sci-Fi Wire podcasts. See you soon.